Phone the comment line 1850 715 900.
Pat Kinnavan made a splash on the Irish theatre scene with his portrayal of Roy Keane in the musical Aikino, but it's for his powerful one-man shows like Forgotten and Silent that he has made his name around the world. He has spent the last 10 years touring these shows, which explore issues like homelessness and how we treat older people, amongst others, and his latest production, Underneath, opens next week in Limerick. It looks at how we judge people by appearances in our new multicultural society. Pat Kinnavan, you're very welcome to the programme.
John, thank you so much for having me on.
And we're laughing because I want to start really where I intended to finish. This latest news about somebody well known. You were Roy Keane for many, many weeks in the Olympia.
I think I did it for the best part of about 6 months, all in all.
And Roy has now left Villa. What do you think might be behind that?
I'm not going to make a comment on that because I think he's amazing, and I really can't say anything bad about
him. Can you put yourself back into Keane mode?
I remember playing. Like, I remember saying like. I remember one of the lines was like, that's the end of it, that there are enough facilities here, so I'm going home now and that's it, forget about it, all right, and stop looking at me like that. But I can't do it.
Dredging that up from the depths of your 10-year-old memory bank isn't particularly
Mario's the man to do it. Mario's amazing doing it. Might just marvel at that.
And he was at the show actually on one occasion, was he?
He was. Roy was, he was a gentleman. He came in to see it in the Olympia, and I was getting ready to go on stage, and we were like a football team ourselves in it. You know what I mean? All the lads working on it because we were together. You know what I mean? It was like a ballet, right? And I knew all the lads in the dressing room were behaving really strangely. They were kind of going, are you okay, Pat? And I'm going, yeah. And it's because they knew he was in. There was security fellas in that. And then halfway through the show, I looked up and he was sitting in the box, and that was surreal. Because here I am playing him and he's looking down at me. But he was a gentleman afterwards. He came on the stage afterwards and he talked to us. And in fact, I've rarely met a guy with such charisma, like incredible charisma and kind of power. But I'll not hear a word said against the boy from Cork. It's amazing.
And Cork people are like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're right. But... You were halfway through the show and you looked up and there he was.
There he was.
Did it throw you?
Not really. I remember having a little bit of an out of body experience, all right, and kind of going, I don't know where I'm going now on the stage. And then I kind of calmed down and I thought, just get through it. No, put your head down and get through it. And he was very complimentary. And when we went down to Cork, his family were really good to us. They were amazing to us. So.
And could you see, was he enjoying himself up in the box?
I think so, yeah. I think he seems to have an amazing sense of humour, actually.
Yes. Well, look, who knows? You might be playing him again now in due course. But look, to move to your new project now.
Thank you, Sean.
Underneath. It tells the story of a girl who had a difficult start in life.
Yeah, she had a difficult start in life. She had a kind of a normal start, really, up to her communion, around her communion time. She was always taller and different looking to the other pretty girls. But then there's a kind of a freak accident happens to her, unfortunately. And she's changed. And she's facially changed and neurologically changed. Things happen to her, Sean, and she can't hide it. And it's from then on, really, her life gets very difficult.
She gets a tough time because of this disfigurement.
She does, yeah. I suppose it's a kind of... I wanted to reflect, really, how we judge people, how our eyes are incredible machines and how they give signals to us and how we judge people because of the outside, really. And I suppose... I'm interested more so in the kind of narcissistic world that's building up, we'll say, on Facebook and all those things where people are taking selfies and it's all about this rather than what's actually going on inside their heads. So I've had a great time.
I know you're going to perform a piece for us from the show. Now might be a good moment for that.
Okay, yeah. So this is her. This is the character, and she speaks about her past and her present. I was born on the day my mother saw Cleopatra in 1965, and she didn't call me after Liz Taylor because there was a ton of scandal about her and Richard Burton. But if I was a boy, she would have definitely called me Niall, after all things Egyptian-like, Niall O'Sullivan. I was a tall little girl always. I had angular wide shoulders. Mam taught me to be proud of them, like Joan Crawford, and she was a flare. So that comforted me at the golden age of seven, and me dwarf and all the other lassies in me communion frock that Mam made from loads of remnants she collected. She dressmade and knitted for extra money. Daddy was a council worker. He used to try and kiss her, but she'd always mop the lino. Now, her brother, Uncle Blaze, he was my favourite, and he sang in the all-male choir, and he'd sing to me when he'd visit too, and I loved when he pinched my cheeks, he'd sing, "Oh, girl, how excellent, how excellent is thy face." Now, there's two girls living upstairs in the flat, all right? Anka is 34 and she's from Bulgaria. She's barking mad. And when she gets homesick, she plays the harp. She's a virtuoso. And that was all she brought from home. It's about that high and it's made of oak. And any time, day or night, she'd strike up. Now, Lydia is Polish and she's nearly 40. And as well as the shenanigans, she's a lap dancer as well and she makes great money. She's got a lethal sense of humour. And she told me this the morning I last saw her. She says, "Why did the Polish fella cross the road?" "Cause he took the chicken's job." They were both amazing girls, Anka and Lydia. I called them Aldi and Lidl. Great value, unbeatable prices for the way we live today.
And the point, or one of the points you're making there, Pat, is the way people who have come to this country are supporting people who are here already?
Absolutely, yeah. In, you know, in every way. I kind of believe in, I have an ideal sort of, my own stupid ideal, and I hope it'll come true after I'm dead, that, you know, we're borderless, that we should be borderless and we should welcome whoever wants to come to our wonderful country. We were nomads right down our, through our history and people welcomed us, so. And I think, as well as finance and money and all that, I think it's more to do with culturally opening up. And I've learnt an awful lot, Sean. You know, I'm so lucky to have travelled around and to kind of experience other cultures. And we are loved all over the place. Like I've been all over Europe and, you know, and America and Australia, and it's amazing how people just come toward you as an Irish man. And I'm very humbled by that. And they go, "Oh, you're Irish, you know, I love your culture." They know a lot about our history, probably an awful lot more than we know about theirs, you know. And that really fascinates me, that we are, especially with the subject matter of my work, that it kind of, I'm surprised that it travels so well, because care of the elderly, homelessness and prejudice, which this deals with, is everywhere. It's and to different degrees in different countries, but we're kind of carbon copies of each other, really.
Now, tell me a little bit more about Underneath. It's opening next week in Limerick, and we'll talk in a minute about why you've chosen Limerick. But the show itself.
Show itself, it really tells the story of this girl and how she gets through life, how she is punished for it on the street, how people call her names, how men treat her, how other women treat her, her look on life, her look on the media, and her look on popular culture, and how people are obsessed by Louboutin shoes and, you know, embalmed and makeup and that kind of thing. And also, I suppose, about loneliness, that there's a lot of people out there that are lonely, but they put on a brave face, and it's what's behind that. And, you know, is life all about finding a partner, or is it about being happy with yourself? Do you know what I mean? So it's what's underneath us all.
There was great depth in the extract that you performed, that brief, I suppose, what, minute and a half, and great entertainment in it as well. So is it a dark show, or is it meant to be a mix of shade and light and entertaining
definitely
as well?
She's got a Cork sensibility about her. She's got that sense of humour. But underneath it all, there is darkness there. She talks about her life. She talks about her death. She talks about, because she's dead. And we realised that earlier on, so we're welcomed into her vault, into her tomb.
Now, maybe she has the Cork sense of humour, but there's a reason you're opening in Limerick, or you're putting it on Limerick. Of course, the fact that it's the city of culture may be irrelevant as well.
Yes, and also my late father was from Limerick. He was from Adair, Dennis Kinavan, and I kind of feel this is kind of, I'm so lucky, Sean, to have these three shows, and very, very humbled and blessed, and this is my way of kind of giving back, and I want to honour my dad by bringing it to Limerick.
Now, your father's death was something that impacted you, and I think maybe continues to do so. You know, many years afterwards.
Absolutely. I found that, you know, I was never going to be the first a boy to lose his father, and I was very lucky to have him for 21 years. But I've got an incredible energy after he died. I changed a lot of my life. I left my job in the civil service and I went into what I'm doing now. And like 25 years later, I think definitely it was because I felt an energy from him, and it was almost like an energy that was passed on to me that I'm full of still.
And it's also dedicated to your late brother, Alan.
Yes, yeah. My brother, Alan, died about 3 years ago. And again, a man that was full of life and full of humour and was very much loved. And I dedicated to him because I think it's a kind of a testament to survival and fight and through his illness that he was extraordinary.
And do you think the issues then, Pat, that you addressed in the earlier plays, homelessness and how we treat older people, do you think, you know, since you wrote those pieces, has the position changed? Has it got better? Has it got worse? What's your sense of it?
Thank you for asking me that question, because it really, really baffles me that we still haven't learned, I suppose, as a beautiful society, we haven't learned that our elderly are treasures. And we should be looking after them, and we should be hearing their stories, and we should be really just wrapping them in cotton wool, because it's not too far around the corner for me, you know what I mean, are you? And we need people to mind us. So surely that is even more relevant now. But the homeless thing, I mean, that blows my mind, because there's no families living on the street. I mean, I wrote Silent Sean 5-6 years ago, and I wrote it thinking it was going to be like, it was going to go out of style, and there's families living on the street. And one thing that really breaks my heart is that we think we're moving on. Oh, there's a shift. Oh, there's more people shopping at Christmas. Oh, there's a change in the economy. But we're leaving behind like a plethora and a mess of people that are living in B&Bs and living on the street with their children. And they, through no fault of their own, that really breaks my heart.
Pat, I know it took you something like 2 years to write Underneath, but tell me about the life of a solo performer. Is it a very intense one, and do you feel maybe vulnerable? I mean, because, you know, in something like Aikino, you were surrounded by, you know, fellow team members.
My buddies, yeah. And I was used to that for years.
But do you prefer being the lone voice, though?
At the moment, I do. I think it's a transitional thing. I never thought that I would be lonely about it. I refused to kind of ever complain about it because it was a choice that I made. But certainly, you're human. Like, and sometimes I'm sitting in the dressing room and I'm going, I'd love an old chat with somebody now, you know what I mean? But I chose it, and sometimes it's nice to be kind of, to be introverted. And I treat it like work, actually, Sean. When I finish the work, I put it aside, I forget about it until I have to do it again.
Well, listen, the very best of luck with the new show Underneath. Pat Kinavans, is that how you pronounce it?
Kinavans, that's right. Kinavans from Cove. And hi, Mam, I love you. On the Cove.
It's going to have its world premiere at the Lime Tree Theatre in Limerick. That's next Friday, the 5th of December. And a nationwide tour will follow in the new year. More information on fishamble.com. Just one relevant text here. Text in, Roy Keane is a person. That's all. Get over it. Get over it.
Get over it. All right, listen, thank you. You're a gentleman. Thank you for having me on.
We'll take that, Pat. Thank you very much. And in fact, Roy Keane's departure as assistant manager of Aston Villa is what we'll be talking about next.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.